Blog Talk Radio.
From Dog Works Training Centers, Professional Canine Training Center in Denver, Colorado, this is the Dog Doctor. Committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogdoctorradio.com. The Dog Doctor is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now here is your host, Dr. Robert Forto, the Dog Doctor.
Hello, everybody. My name is Robert Forto, and you're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show coming to you live from Denver Dog Works. I'm here with my co-host and business partner, Michelle. How are you?
I'm great.
What is going on at Denver Dog Works this week?
This week at Denver Dog Works, we will be continuing with our Canine Good Citizen class. In fact, just a couple more weeks, and we will be administering a test in that class. We will also be developing a puppy raiser program.
And what exactly is a puppy raiser program?
Well, in our case, our puppy raiser program will be tackling three different types of working dogs, which will be therapy, service, and flood dogs.
There you go. So in a couple of weeks, we're going to be at the Furry Scurry to help celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Denver Dumb Friends League, and we will have a booth there, and we're going to be broadcasting the Dog Doctor Radio Show there on Saturday. That is the first day of May, I believe. It's Saturday morning.
Right, so that would be May Day, and I believe that that is our fourth year in a row of which that Denver Dog Works has attended. And I would just like to say a great thank you out there to all of the Dumb Friends League Furry Scurry patrons. We always get a great turnout, and we always get some great clients out of that appearance in the park.
Yes, and on May 30th, we're going to be at Washington Park again for the Max Fun Shelter Lucky Mutt Strut. Very similar to the Furry Scurry, except on a much smaller scale, and we will be there as well. And if that is a Saturday morning, we're going to be broadcasting our show live.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to it. Both events really do help benefit dogs here in the Denver metro area, but from what I understand, the Denver Dumb Friends League as well as Max Fun, they're statewide.
They are statewide, and they do a lot of good work for rehoming pets. And they don't only just do dogs. They do they do cats and everything else at the Denver Dumb Friends League. They even rehome chinchillas and rabbits and things like that as well.
Yes, they do. And, you know, they have a phenomenal facility. It would make any dog fancier jealous. It's just state of the art. I encourage people to get out there and volunteer for either or both organization. If you are in a position where you cannot have a pet of your own, this is a good way to get out there and do something good for our animal friends.
That's right, and that is going to be on May 1st, Saturday, and May 30th will be our two events at Washington Park this year. On July 4th weekend or thereabouts, we're going to be at the Red, White, and You Festival in Littleton, Colorado at the Clement Park location, and that's always a good time. They do fireworks and live bands and all of that as well, so we're looking forward to doing that. And then in the end of the summer, we always do the Parker Days. That's a fun event. And
they not doing the Somerset Festival again this year?
The Somerset Festival is the last weekend of the summer, so it will be the week following.
And last year they canceled one of those events due to, what was it, lack of participation and funding for the fireworks?
Yeah, the fireworks one at the Red, White, and You Festival, they did cancel that. So we are looking forward to having that going on. And those are our real big flagship events of the summer. And we just like to come out there and answer questions for people that are struggling with training in their dogs and things like that.
Absolutely. And, you know, those of you that are listening that put on some of these venues, or maybe you put on a different type of venue, such as a career fair or something like that, a job fair, anything like that within the schools, or even just for your job, let us know. We have a lot of different types of workshops that we teach as well, about dog behavior as well as CPR, canine first aid, and things of that nature. And if you're in the vet industry and you are looking to upgrade your continuing education units or just get your staff doing something together as a group, give us a call.
303-578-9881, 303-978-9881, or you can find us anywhere on the web. Just type in Denver Dog Works, and we pull up all over the place.
Right, and I know that there's people out there listening all over the world. I would like to mention that that is a worldwide invitation. We will come anywhere and teach your staff what they need to know.
So today's topic, we're going to be talking about Therapy Dogs, a program that Michelle has developed and is in full swing, and we're going to talk a little bit about territorial aggression. In a week or two, I'm going to be down in the American South and doing some expert witness stuff for a territorial aggression case for a lawyer, and looking forward to doing that, and we're going to talk a little bit about what territorial aggression is.
I just need to know if it's too early in the season for Georgia peaches to be shipped back home.
I have no idea. I'm not a big peach fan.
Well, I am, so you got to check into that for me.
So there we go. So we're going to talk about therapy dogs at Denver Dog Works, and this is really Michelle's forte, and she gets quite a bit of response from it. I think she has 4 or 5 dogs in therapy dog training right now at Denver Dog Works, and she just wants to talk a little bit about what her program is all about. I know she wrote an article this past week on our blog that you can read at denverdogworks.com. But Michelle, what is your therapy dog program and how is it different than the others?
Well, our therapy dog program has really developed into something that I don't think either one of us thought it was going to develop into. We've been training therapy dogs for at least a decade. Our first therapy dog was a Neke, and a lot of people don't know that he's a therapy dog. He was a natural at getting kids that we would visit in local schools to open up and ask us questions, especially when we visited schools with younger kids that were very shy and afraid to ask questions. If I brought a Neke over to them, it was amazing how quickly they would begin to ask you questions and remember the things in the Call of the Wild book that they had just read, that some of the other more extroverted kids were already asking, but they would ask the more in-depth questions, the quiet kids. So Aneke was always good at that for us. He has since been retired, but it is our hope that his legacy lives on within each and every therapy dog and service dog that we train at Denver Dog Works. That being said, I have always had a therapy dog in training of some sort or another. I help people get recertified and prepare for their recertification testing with Delta Society, American Humane Society. I've also worked with Therapy Dogs International, and now although I'm not a therapy team evaluator for either one of those companies, I'm very familiar with the training that they require, and I'm able to prepare your dog for that. I am not an evaluator or a therapy team because I simply do not have the time. It's a 2-year process. Volunteering, and once I don't need to train your dog any longer, I will be training mine to do therapy work. A great inspiration for me was, I just forgot his little name.
Baxter.
Yes, Baxter was a great inspiration for me, and I didn't mean to forget his name, but I wanted to call him Bowie. With the therapy teams that I have in training right now, most of them are psychiatrists or psychologists that would like for their own personal dog to be the therapy animal in their office. They don't need to go through Delta Society or even Therapy Dogs International. They just need to be trained and certified through a company that can do that for them so that their dog can come to work with them and then help them give some therapeutic help to their patients. So this is why we're a little bit different, because for right now, most of my clients are just that. They're in the medical field, and they want to have their dog be trained in a certain way and react a certain way to what the client's needs are.
So in your article, Michelle, you talked about the difference between a service dog and a therapy dog. I know a lot of people have misconceptions about both. What are the main differences?
The main misconceptions is that people think that if their dog is wearing a vest, they can go anywhere with them magically. But there is a significant difference between therapy and service. The most recognizable difference is that a service dog goes everywhere with its handler. A therapy dog only goes to a prescribed volunteered facility location. A service dog may work for his handler up to 24 hours a day with little or no breaks. A therapy dog is only allowed to work a certain number of hours per week and only at their prescribed location. In other words, if your therapy dog accompanies you once a week to the local library and you participate in a therapy dog reading program, as a therapy team cannot stop off at the local diner and grab a bite to eat at a window table. I'm sorry, I'm really choppy with reading today. I apologize for that. Basically, what I'm trying to say is that a therapy dog team can't go out to dinner. You can't go with your dog into the restroom even at the prescribed location where you're performing your therapy work. Only service dogs are allowed to do that.
And why is that?
Because a service dog is providing a service to the disabled handler that otherwise cannot be performed alone.
So is a therapy dog trained in the same exact way as a service dog, meaning that it learns the same commands, has the same registration, has the same identification, et cetera?
Technically, no. At Denver Dog Works, yes. I train all the dogs in therapy and service to meet the public access requirements for the Foundation of Service Dog Support because I want to hold my therapy dogs to that higher level of training. There's absolutely no reason why they can't pass that level of training, and it should be expected of them. A lot of the companies out there, and I'm not going to name any names because there are several that I am familiar with that aren't, they're barely even doing basic obedience, let alone canine good citizen requirements for their therapy dogs.
So when you're training therapy dogs for the public access type training, can you take these dogs in training to shopping malls, grocery stores, et cetera, to do your training?
I can because I'm a service dog evaluator and I'm a therapy team evaluator. So I can take those dogs with me because I have the right credentials. The person practicing can take them in and out of those places as long as they aren't causing a nuisance and the management has given them permission to do so.
So how do people get in contact with you about your therapy dog training?
They need to contact me through our website, denverdogworks.com, or through my website, michellefortot.com, or you can always give me a call at 303-578-9881. If you are in the therapy medical industry, meaning psychologist and psychiatrist, please give me a call or send me an email at mforto@denverdogworks.com. I would love to speak with you about a brand new type of therapy that's being offered out there but by very few therapists in helping get their patients to open up and speak in different lights and volumes of their psyche so that they can overcome some desperate fears and things. I do train service dogs for psychiatric work. I have bipolar patients. I have patients that have clients that have agoraphobia. We deal with clients that have post-traumatic stress disorders. And there's quite a few studies out there being done both with the military people. They're testing people coming back from Afghanistan and the Middle East to see if they fare better with a service dog or fare better being visited by a therapy dog regularly while they're in the hospital. And both are turning out phenomenal results. Also, there's other programs out there, such as the one at the University of Denver that's being really talked about in the media lately, where they are doing a test on therapy work in the social work realm, especially with young adults 14 to 25, and seeing if it can assist with everything from depression to suicidal rates and things like that. So dogs are going to be coming into our medical lifestyles very soon.
And we have a client that is a student in that program, don't we?
Yes, we do. Her and her dog started off in that program as a therapy dog, and we are remolding, if you will, her therapy dog into a service dog because of an accident that she suffered.
So one more time, how do people get in contact with you for your therapy dog training?
That's michellefortoe.com, michelefortoe.com. DenverDogWorks.com, I believe, has a link to my website as well. And or you can always give us a call, 303-578-9881.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about territorial aggression and what the governor is up to in the state of Colorado.
Team Ineke is a professional Siberian Husky racing team located in Denver, Colorado and Duluth, Minnesota. Dr. Robert Forto and his team are training for their first Iditarod run in 2013. Team Ineke is seeking corporate and individual sponsors. For more information, visit our website at teamineke.com. That's TEAMINEKA.com. Let's get back to the show. Must you, Huskies? Gee-haw!
Back. You're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show, part of Twine Group Media and sponsored by Denver Dog Works. We just finished up a conversation with Michelle about therapy dogs. If you would like to hear that conversation, you can download us anytime through blogtalkradio.com/dogworks, or you can find us in iTunes as well. You can subscribe to our podcast there. Just type in Dog Works in that search bar on the podcast page, and you will get a reminder, and it will load right into your iTunes every time you open it up. So, Michelle, we're going to get into another topic here in just a second, but I want to mention to everybody that is listening out there some cutting-edge news from the governor of Colorado, Governor Bill Ritter. Just recently this week, he signed into law a provision that says if a person is under arrest for domestic violence, they can also include the family pet into that as part of the restraining order.
Really? So they're going to determine that your pet is now committing domestic violence?
No, if you're committing domestic violence and you receive a restraining order, it can be upheld with your pet as well.
Oh, so to keep you from seeing your pet. Well, I would imagine that that was going to come into play at some point because of all of the court cases in divorce court, which include visitation of the pet. Remember, when we picked up Charlie at Pet Airways, the girls were telling us about one of their most frequent flyers from Denver to San Diego. He flies back and forth every weekend because he is a shared custody pet. So I think that more and more of those things are going to come into play. As I said earlier, dogs are going to start playing bigger roles in our medical lifestyles. They're also going to start playing bigger roles in our family lifestyles. And you know what? I believe that everybody that's in a long-term loving relationship deserves to have a tax credit since we're on the political thing of this. But I also think that if you choose not to have human children, but you choose to have canine or feline children, that those might be able to qualify under that earned child credit.
That's stretching it a little bit.
I'll have some fans on that one.
That is stretching it a little bit. We're having a difficult time including the children in the earned income credit, so I can imagine.
Hey, all I got to say is Kyle turns 18 in May. We won't be able to collect on him next year, but Kane's only 3.
There you go. So if you're interested in finding out more about that ruling or that law that was signed in by Governor Bill Ritter, even though he is a lame duck governor here in Colorado, he's still signing things into law that make a difference in the pet community. And I will be writing a article about that this weekend, and you can find that at DenverDogWorks.com.
Right, and please understand that not all of our political views match that of our sponsors.
We sponsor ourselves, so I guess we can say whatever we want. But anyway, read our blogs, comment on them, give us some criticism, give us some feedback. We're interested to hear what other people have to say. And speaking of which, I put a thing out on Twitter the other day that we're going to do in an upcoming show, and I'm finding it remarkable that so many people are involved in this. It is social media for your pets. There are so many Facebook pages out there. There are so many Twitter accounts out there that are for the pet. It is literally the dog doing the tweeting. Obviously, it's the owner tweeting in care of the dog. But the dog has a Twitter page, and it is just going crazy.
Well, right, absolutely. And remember, when you were up in Anchorage, I had mentioned that to you, that when we start building Team Aneke, that each and every one of the dogs on the team, I would like to be able to have people do an adopt a dog or sponsor the dog, and that's how they're going to keep in contact with the team dogs, and is by Facebook. We'll have photos on there of their training, progress charts, and all kinds of things, and I think it's going to make your race to the arch very different from everybody else's, because everybody out there is going to be able to not just follow you, the musher, like the kids do with the teachers. They're going to be able to pick the dog that they want to follow and follow that dog all the way through, including Aneke, who will be traveling in style in a motorhome.
If he's still with the yes. But this social media thing is really catching on, and what really started my interest in this was a lady that has a talk show on E! Now, I'm not an E! Channel watcher, but this lady's pretty popular, and I'm sure everybody knows who it is when I mention her name. Her name is Chelsea Handler, and her dog has a Twitter account. His name is Chunk, and they are big time on Twitter. And if you know anything about Chelsea's show, it's called... what is it called? Chelsea Lately, I believe it is called. And it's one of those shows. It's kind of a late-night type, you know, Jay Leno-type show. But she is the only woman in late-night that is doing a show. But what is interesting is her dog, Chunk, has more of a following than most other people on Twitter. And he gets all kind of feedback. And I'm just interested in what other people have to say about social media and their pets.
You know, I think it's going to be, like I said, we're just turning the dog into such a regular part of our lives that it's going to be known all over the place. You know, in Europe, they don't have the same rules and regulations as we do about your pet. Dogs go with you to the bistro.
So we'll see what happens. If you are a Twitter user or Facebook user and you do have an account for your pet, please send us an email with your comments, and we may even have you on the Dog Doctor Radio show in just a couple of weeks. You can email us at live@dogdoctorradio.com.
Sounds good. We're looking forward to that article that you're going to write based on Governor Ritter's new laws, and I think that you should write one about this Twitter phenomenon as well.
We're going to see how it goes. So we're going to take a very quick break and talk about one of our classes at Denver Dog Works, and we're going to come back and talk about territorial aggression.
Denver Dog Works is offering a few clinics to get you and your dog back into shape for the upcoming summer season. Know your dog might not wear a bikini, but you sure do. Come in and give us a try. Spring cleaning classes are now starting. 303-578-9881. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show by Twine Group Media, sponsored by Denver Dog Works. Dr. Forto will be discussing territorial aggression in just a moment, but I'm really interested to find out what the definition of territorial aggression is.
Territorial aggressive dogs protect the home territory or their social group from unfamiliar people or animals. Like dogs exhibiting owner-directed aggression, territorial aggressive dogs are typically presented at behavioral maturity. Dogs of either sex may be seen, in this case of territorial aggression, between 1 and 4 years of age, although more male dogs than females are presented with territorial aggression.
Could some of the territorial aggression arise from lack of proper socialization and conditioning when they were puppies?
Typically, territorial aggression is related to fear. Dogs are exhibiting some type of fear response, therefore they're exhibiting this unwanted behavior of aggressiveness towards unfamiliar people or animals.
So if during the critical stages when they're puppies, if they're not exposed to, let's say, men, and then they're purchased by a woman, and then all of a sudden she starts exposing them to men, there could be a development of fear there that could eventually turn into territorial aggression. Am I following you correctly?
That's exactly right. But what is interesting is studies have found that quite a few numbers of severe attacks from dogs that are exhibiting territorial aggression are dogs that have been tied up outdoors for long periods of time.
My God, do we still do that? I thought that's something that we did in the 50s.
People, I guess, still do it, especially in the inner cities. Quite a few dogs are still tied up in the backyard while their owners are at work, and often that leads to situations very similar to this of territorial assertiveness or even worse, territorial aggression that could exhibit biting behavior.
Wow. So with this case that you have down south, what exactly happened with this dog? You're not allowed to talk about a lot of it, but talk about the situation. I understand that this dog came at the guy, and the guy flew over a railing. What was the dog being territorial over?
He was being territorial over the place of business, and that's what we're going to be talking about at this upcoming court case. And you're right, we can't get into it any more than that, but territorial aggression, or as I like to call it, territorial assertiveness, is a big problem for people that take their dogs to work, that leave their dogs in the backyard, they think they're doing the natural protectiveness of the home, but often that's going to backfire on them because there's all sorts of problems that you can get into, negligence and dog at large and vicious dogs and all sorts of other things. So you got to be very leery of what you're going to be doing with your dog, even in the backyard.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know that you and I are both breeders, and we do a specific puppy raising program with our dogs, and in that it means that from day zero to the day that they are purchased and rehomed, we go through an extensive touch conditioning program with them, as well as exposure to all sorts of noises, people, smells, and different types of textures.
Right, but in the territorial aggression context, you're looking at a dog that is used to being somewhere, and when he is there over a period of time, he gets that innate ability to say, this is mine, and when he does that, it's going to cause problems in a lot of dogs in regards to these problems that we're talking about with vicious dogs and negligence on your part and things like that you just don't want to be a part of if you're a dog owner.
So a lot of our clients will approach you and I both, and they will say that their dog is the alpha dog, when in reality their dog is doing this territorial assertiveness that you're talking about and not the alpha at all.
Well, that's more often related to owner-directed aggression. The name has changed in recent times. It used to be called dominance-related aggression, and you'll hear that so often with people that have dogs that they consider problems. You'll often hear them say, my dog is dominant, or my dog is aggressive, or my dog is territorial aggressive, or whatever. There are so many labels out there that people put on their dogs, and it just gives often a false diagnosis for what's going on.
Well, and I agree with that, because a lot of times we will have clients come in, or they will contact us over email, and they will put out these descriptions and these labels, and they're so far from what the actual problem is that they're actually making the problems worse. You also mentioned that the owner can be asserting this territorial aggression onto their dog, or I might have heard you incorrectly. How does that happen? I mean, the owner has done something there that is encouraging their dog to actually be assertive and aggressive.
Sometimes you don't have to do anything. It's just the dog's comfort level in a particular area. For example, you work in a factory, and the dog goes to work with you every day at the factory, and every time somebody comes in, he is reinforced by barking, and the guy comes in, the guy leaves. He barks, he leaves. He barks, he leaves. He barks, he leaves. So the next thing you know, the dog's thinking to himself, hey, every time I bark here, this guy's going to turn around and walk out the door. So it's a self-reinforcing type conundrum that you're in. The dog is there, the person comes in, the dog barks, the person leaves. It's very similar to what happens with the mailman at the old school mail drops that people used to have in their front door. The mailman would come up and make all this racket and drop the mail in the little slot, and the dog would run to the front door and bark and bare teeth and growl and carry on, and then the next thing you know, the mailman would turn around and walk away. And the dog's thinking to himself, huh, I scared that guy off. So the more he does that, the more reinforcing it is to the dog. So therefore, the bigger problem it becomes when other things can occur, such as somebody knocking at the door that we always talk about, the pizza guy or the Girl Scouts that are selling cookies, it becomes such a problem that often it's going to require behavior modification.
Wow. And not only that, but it's sounding to me like we are doing that whole bully syndrome with our dogs. You know, the typical kid on the playground that stole our lunch money did the same sort of scenario.
Yes, he did. And there's all sorts of different types of assertive behavior or what a lot of people like to call aggressive behavior. And I encourage everybody that has one of these types of problems with your dog, you need to speak to somebody that deals primarily with behavior modification. Training is not going to work here. Training at your local big box store cannot help you with territorial type problems, owner-directed aggression problems, food aggression problems, all those other types of issues that can literally mean life and death for your dog. You need to see somebody that knows what this diagnosis is and how to deal with it.
And that's sound advice. Not every trainer out there has a background in behavior. Some of them delve in a little bit of it. Most trainers that I have found know a little bit about fear aggression, but not a lot about territorial aggression.
So if you're interested in having somebody evaluate your dog, always look for a trainer in your area that deals with behavior modification. Or if you're in the Denver area, you can always call us at denverdogworks.com, and we'd be happy to help you out with that.
That's right. Go into a little bit more. Is territorial aggression transferred to the leash when you're out on a walk?
Typically, it could be regarded as what most people call leash aggression. Then you're coming in with a little bit different, different response from the dog. That's a little bit more of the dominance type aggression that has been trained, that has been changed up to a bit to be called owner-directed aggression, but that is an entirely different point on the spectrum.
And correct me if I'm wrong, do we have a large problem with territorial aggression here in Denver at the dog parks and doggy daycares?
That's a different type. Again,
but that's what I'm trying to say. The clients will come in and they'll call us and they'll say, my dog was at the dog park and I think he's developing territorial aggression. That's what I'd like you to clarify for people, that's not what that is.
No, it's not. This is a very cut and dry definition of territorial aggression, and what that means is the dog is responding to his area. If a dog's traveling from dog park to dog park, you know, from dog park A to dog park B, typically you're not going to have that severe response in territorial aggression as you would, again, if you take your dog to work with you every day.
But what if you take your dog to the same park with you every day? It's from the time it's 8 weeks old and now he's three, and now he's developing a situation where as soon as a dog enters the dog park gate, he's growling and all over them.
Yeah, that's a different type of diagnosis that we need to deal with in a different manner. You just can't work with aggression under one umbrella.
Well, Dr. Forto, we look forward to reading your article on territorial aggression. Is there anything else you would like to add?
No, there's not. We just look forward to, again, any comments or concerns. If you have an aggressive dog and you would like to tell your story on the Dog Doctor Radio Show, we welcome you to email us in at live@dogdoctorradio.com. Next week, what are we talking about?
You know, I don't know yet. We seem to have a new topic every week based on what goes on the week before. I'm looking forward to discussing more and more about my puppy raiser program that's being developed at Denver Dog Works. And if you're interested in becoming a puppy raiser for us, you can contact us through denverdogworks.com.
You're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show, brought to you by Twine Group Media and part of blogtalkradio.com, syndicated worldwide. You can hear us every week on Saturday mornings at 9:30 a.m., and you can always download our archive shows at twinegroupradio.com. Michelle, it's been a pleasure. We will see you next week. Never forget your dreams. Goodbye.
Thank you.